Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Shock Shock Knicks podcast, game 5 recap from the Knicks-Cavs series. Here on the Midtown and Rebound podcast network, all part of the brand new Fans First Sports Network. I guess it's a little bit past brand new by now, but it's still fresh, no question about that. And on this fresh edition of the podcast, we recap the Knicks advancing to the second round of the NBA playoffs for the first time in a decade, for the second time in two decades for the New York Knicks. We will also get to the Knicks Heat series. We will get to the rest of the storylines from around the NBA playoffs. But what a tremendous series from the Knicks. I mean, before we get into Game 5 specifically, I just want to kind of reiterate just how well the Knicks played throughout the entire series. They had a blip in Game 2 after a really impressive road win in Game 1, when it kind of looked like Cleveland was going to come back and win the game. Knicks held firm. They get that huge first road win of the series, and it turned out to really be a huge game to win, because then, of course, Cleveland was able to respond in Game 2 to even the series. They win by 17. Knicks had a blip in that game. It happens in the NBA playoffs. It was a game where Darius Garland went off, had his by far his best game of the series. Knicks needed to respond in Game 3. Boy, did they ever, as down here in Florida, for those, if you can hear it, maybe you can, maybe you can't. There's an air show going on by where I record the podcast. We apologize for that. But the Knicks have been soaring since Game 2. Make no mistake about that. Game 3 at the Garden was just exactly what the doctor ordered. Knicks held the Cavs to 79 points in Game 3. I mean, just extremely impressive. Defensively, Cavs showed a lot of fight in Game 4 of the series. Knicks had a huge lead in the second quarter. Cavs came back and took the lead in the third. Could have been a series-defining game. I mean, it really could have been. If Cleveland ties the series at 2-2, it's a totally different atmosphere in Cleveland for Game 5, but the Knicks close them out. They hold serve at the Garden, as we were hoping they would. And frankly, I feel pretty confident saying this. I don't remember the last time I was more, trusting of the Knicks going into a closeout game of a series. It's been forever, right? So I actually felt great about Game 5 going into it. The way the Knicks handled their business at the Garden, it kind of seemed to have taken Cleveland down a few pegs, taking the wind out of their sails. They were outworked in those two games at the Garden. I think it was very clear that the MSG atmosphere got to them, especially in Game 3. I mean, I think in Game 4, they have that run where you're kind of thinking, all right, Cleveland's, you know, finally off the mat. Knicks put them right back down. And the biggest part about Game 5 was going to be the first half. Could the Knicks take a lead into the second half? Because after that, in an elimination game, teams can start counting the minutes down a little bit mentally, and they can start to realize the anaconda is squeezing the life out of us and we can't get out. That's exactly what ended up happening. The Knicks in the first quarter really came out and were ready. They were focused. They knew what the task at hand was. I mean, Jalen Brunson said after Game 4 that the series was far from over. They were not celebrating anything, and it showed. They showed up ready to fight in Game 5, and the Knicks win and advance. They win by 11, 106-95. We expected Jalen Brunson to be phenomenal, but he was just tremendous this entire series. Led the team in Game 5 with 23 points. RJ Barrett, arguably his best postseason game as a Knick. He had 21, was efficient from the field. I mean, he was great in Game 4 as well, but in a closeout game, I thought he was tremendous. Julius Randle got hurt in, was it the late in the second quarter, I believe? He only played 16 minutes. Finished with 13 points and 6 assists, just one turnover. So we will get to his status. Hopefully he will be okay for the Miami series and can play his best basketball at the right time, or at least give the Knicks a big contribution. That's what they need right now. So we'll see. It's going to be a very interesting set of circumstances involving Julius Randle's injury, but if he can play, the Knicks could certainly use him, especially guarding the likes of Jimmy Butler in that series. So have to give a huge tip of the cap to Tom Thibodeau in this series. I mean, he played it perfectly, and I mean, again, it was only five games, but the Knicks' game plan in every game, they were in the right place to execute it. Game 2, I just think, was a situation where the Cavs were just really scorching hot from deep. Darius Garland at times couldn't miss. Those games happen. You got to bounce back from them. Knicks won three straight games over Cleveland after that to win the series in Ohio and advance in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, huge success for this Knicks team. And the great part about it is this Knicks team can go on from here and really do some damage in these NBA playoffs, right? I mean, one of the things that was interesting going into the playoffs was the expectation of get out of the first round, and then if you lose to Milwaukee, you lose to Milwaukee. Knicks have struggled against Milwaukee all year. There's been a ton of tight games against the Bucks. Knicks have not won them this season. So the general course of action or thought was beat Cleveland, probably lose to Milwaukee, right? But the Miami Heat, and this is where I really need to start giving them some credit. Towards the end of the season, I think a lot of people thought, man, I mean, after they get out of the play-in, they're going to get waxed by the Bucks. They are going to get blown out by Milwaukee. And listen, Giannis dealt with injury problems in the series. It's the NBA playoffs. It's going to happen. Not much else you can say about it. It obviously makes an impact, but things like that happen. Teams have to adjust, and the Bucks are a deep team. The Bucks are a good team. They got outplayed, and even when Giannis got back into the lineup, the Heat just wanted it more. Jimmy Butler wanted it more and had some incredible games in that series. The 56-pointer that he put up the other night was incredible. And just his individual acts of dragging the Heat back into the game were impressive. Were extremely, extremely impressive. So got to give him a ton of credit. It's going to be a tough matchup for the Knicks to deal with in this series. Jimmy Butler, when he's playing well, can deal with any defender in the league. So it's going to be a mix, I think, of Hart, Barrett, and hopefully a healthy or close to healthy Julius Randle mixing and matching on him. Maybe even a little bit of, yet if he's okay to go, Quentin Grimes at times, just giving him different looks. Tough thing with Grimes, you know, there's a bit of a size mismatch there, but that's going to be a very difficult matchup for the Knicks to deal with in this series. And it's why I go into it thinking it's going to be a very tough 6-7 game series with Miami. They are clicking at the right time. It's what they tend to do in the postseason. But the Knicks are confident. The Knicks are playing as well as they've played all year as well. It's going to be a tremendous series, right? Knicks won 3 out of 4 in the regular season. All of them were really good games. You know, the Randall crazy shot in Miami to win it at the end. That game was insane. The Knicks games against Miami at the Garden, the Knicks have won, but again, tight games. So this is going to be probably a 6-7 game series. And again, I do think the Knicks will advance. I have the Knicks going through in 6 games, but don't sleep on Miami. I've seen too many people already putting the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Miami is going to put up one hell of a fight, as they always do in the postseason. And for anyone, again, it's been a while, but for anyone that knows their Knicks Heat Miami, you know, playoff history, it's going to be rowdy in Miami. It's going to be crazy at the Garden. Big thing in this series as well, though, for the Knicks is they have home court advantage. That's really important for this series. And I really think it could play a big factor in how this series plays out. The fact that the Knicks have home court could be a big determining factor as to who goes on to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's going to be exciting. Again, I think the Knicks will win this series, but it's going to be a fascinating series. And again, I think that anybody that is counting the Heat out doesn't know their NBA basketball and certainly doesn't know their NBA playoff basketball. No question about that. And again, just the way the Heat won Game 4, the way they won in overtime in Game 5, the crazy Butler shot with a half second left to tie the game. Heat go on to win it by 2 in overtime. Can't count the Miami Heat out, but the Knicks are ready. We know the Knicks are not going to take them lightly whatsoever. I think the Knicks will win the series. So it's going to be a really fun Eastern Conference semi on that side of things. Quick whip around, the rest of the NBA playoffs here. I do want to touch on the Celtics-Hawks series because this got unexpectedly interesting towards the end. I mean, after the Hawks won Game 3 and Boston bounced back in Game 4, you kind of felt like the series was over. Boston was going back home for a Game 5 feeling really good about themselves, and they were in great shape until the Hawks just went on a heater in the late stages, and Trae Young hits a jaw-dropping 3 in the final seconds to beat Boston in TD Garden in Game 5 to force it back to Atlanta for a Game 6. And I know, you know, talking with friends and colleagues, just kind of thinking.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Could the Hawks force a Game 7? I mean, it was possible. We were feeling it could happen. It was tight for a good chunk of Game 6. But Boston defensively grinded the Hawks down in this game. I mean, the defining moment of the game is the Hawks have a sideline inbounds play at the end of the game. They take 4 tries to try and inbound the ball. 3 times they just throw it off the defender in front of them. The 4th time the ball is turned over. Boston wins 128-120. Maybe a game or two longer than expected, give the Hawks credit, but the Celtics advance to take on the Sixers, who are resting up nicely with Joel Embiid and his injuries, hoping to get healthy and ready to go for that fascinating Eastern Conference semifinal as well. Probably the 2 favorites in the East left going up against each other while the Knicks and Heat do battle on Sunday at MSG in Game 1 of that series. In the West, Timberwolves survive Game 4. Remember the last time we were on, we were talking about, in fact, I thought the Nuggets were likely going to sweep this series, but Minnesota finds a way after they nearly blew it, frankly, in Game 4. But give them credit, they survive. They win by 6, and they gave the Nuggets a heck of a game in Game 5. Never went away. Jamal Murray had to hit some ridiculously tough shots. The Joker had his way inside for a good chunk of the game. Late foul trouble ends up doing Minnesota in, and the Nuggets advance in 5. They win 112-109, and they will take on the Phoenix Suns in the semifinals in the Western Conference. I want to give a little bit of a shout-out to Phoenix here. I mean, again, Speaking of injuries, the Clippers have been decimated by injuries at the end of this season. Paul George maybe could have come back later in the postseason. It was unlikely. Same thing with Kawhi Leonard after his injury. But the Clippers won game one of this series with just Kawhi, and you felt like, man, this could go six or seven. But then the injury bug bites the Clippers in the you-know-what, and the Suns rattle off four straight wins. Although, I will say, game five, that game was over like five times in the second half. It just seemed like the Suns were up big, or they had a big shot to stop a Clipper run. But the Clippers nearly came back and forced overtime in game five. They had a couple of chances at one point late on to take the lead, but they couldn't get over the hump. And Phoenix will take on Denver in a fascinating second round series in the West. That one is tough to predict. I think, you know, as far as depth, I think you give Denver the advantage, but as far as talent from top to bottom, it's hard to top KD, D-Book, CP3, and DeAndre Ayton. So that's going to be a very, very good series. Now, there are still two series at the time of recording that are not quite done yet. Game 6, Golden State, Sacramento, huge win for the Warriors in Game 5. It was a very pivotal game in the series. You felt that if Sacramento wins it, they're the front runners to win this series, even if not in Golden State, but maybe back in Sacramento. Now that the Warriors, the defending champions, have the hammer in hand going back to the Bay Area for a Game 6, it could be all she wrote for Sacramento. Might not see another beam lit this season in the capital of California. Tough to see that, but I think it's fair to say that the Warriors are in very, very good shape after an 8-point win in Game 5. I think they're going to go on and win that series. It just seems like the Kings have not been able to figure them out quite yet at Golden State. I mean, again, Game 4 was a tight game, but you know, if Golden State handles the ball a little bit better down the stretch, I think they would have won that game rather easily. So we haven't seen the Kings stand up to that kind of adversity yet on the road. This is their chance. Chance to go back to Sacramento for a Game 7 on Sunday. We will see. We will see. We'll see if the champions can be put to the brink or if they will advance to take on the winner of the other series that is still yet to be completed. Game 6 in LA, Lakers, Memphis, the Grizzlies stave off elimination in Game 5. And now the Lakers with LeBron and AD have the hammer. Do they know and remember how to use it in this playoff series? This one's tougher to predict because I do see a scenario where Memphis can win this game and send it back to, Memphis for a winner-take-all Game 7. I really do. I'm hesitant because the Grizzlies have been so erratic in this series. Before the series, you know, before we knew Ja Morant was going to be dealing with injury problems in this series, I had Memphis in 6, but here we are in Game 6, and it's the Lakers with a chance to close this out. I'm going to say this goes 7. I think this is going to go 7 games. I got a funny feeling Memphis is going to win Game 6, but we'll see. Maybe LeBron and company have their black tie affair ready to go, ready to put the Memphis Grizzlies away and send them into the great unknown for the offseason in the NBA. Lots of good stuff to look forward to around there. Again, before we leave, just want to say, Grizzlies Lakers Game 6 and Warriors Kings Game 6 will, you know, depending on when you listen, you'll likely know the results of those by the time you get the podcast, just how it works sometimes with the recording schedule. So apologies for that. But next time, we'll be talking Knicks Heat, beginning of that playoff series, and the beginning of the rest of the semifinal series in the East and in the West. Until then, have a great week and enjoy the NBA playoff basketball.